Well, part four of our series on the leadership crisis in America today. This will be the final part of this message. I promise. Started out as one message, ended up with four parts. You just never know, you know. You get into something and it just keeps building, you know. So, if you would listen for a few moments, I just want to review very rapidly what we've covered and then move into our final phase of this message. Again, it's entitled, for anyone who's here or who hasn't been here during this series, Leadership Crisis in America. The first major point we looked at is the character that God requires in leadership. Then we moved on to the second major point, which is the choice God respects. Bottom line is, if we insist, He will give us our way because He gave us a free will. So we explored that. And then we looked at the consequences that God reveals. There are consequences for disobeying God. He gave us a free will, and we can exercise that free will, but there's always going to be consequences for operating outside of the parameters that God has established for our lives. Are we all together on that? Clear on that? Okay, and the next major point, the fourth one, is the control that God reserves, which is where we're going to pick up today. The control that God reserves. You do understand, God is God, and He is in control ultimately. So His good and perfect will is what will end up transpiring in spite of all of the sin in the world. It's pretty interesting to see that play out. Would you turn with me and we'll read together and then pray. Isaiah 40 verses 23 and 24. Isaiah 40 verses 23 and 24. This passage says, He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than He blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your word, and As we wrap up this message today, Lord God, I just pray that by Your Spirit, I would be able to draw this all together, bring it to a close, and Lord, that we would have understanding that we did not have before we started into this series. I pray that You would put a watch on my mouth today, Lord, that I would only speak the words You've ordained for today, not a word more or a word less, and all to glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in this passage we read in Isaiah 40, makes it abundantly clear, He, God, brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. He is in control. He is in total leadership. He says, no sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than He blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with a pastor, and he's very prophetic as well. His name is Robin Bullock. How many of you know that name? Okay. Robin Bullock had a prophetic word. Oh, I lose track because I see so much of this stuff. It's been maybe a couple of months that he had a word that he had gotten and a vision that he had seen, and he had seen a whirlwind in the White House. You know what I'm talking about. He actually saw a whirlwind in the White House. And then we turn around and we read in Scripture where it says he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Are you hearing this? Do you get this? It's pretty cool when we have prophetic words that come forth and they line right up with Scripture, and we see here how God does have control of the rulers in this world. Even the ones that have been set in place by man, God will have the final say. That's just the way it works. Because he's God and man is not. So man and Satan put people in high places, exalt them, and men or women exalt themselves in our culture. But at the end of the day, God is the one that establishes leadership, and the leadership that is not established by him is going to be swept away by a whirlwind like chaff. And I believe that's why Robert Bullock got that from the Lord. I was about to jump up and down when I was working on this and gathering scriptures to put this message together, and I read this after I had seen this word by Robin Bullock, and I put it together and I said, oh Lord, you're good. You are good. I don't know why that shocks me. It shouldn't shock me, but it's just, when you get those revelations, it's like, wow! So, and also, then he blows on them and they wither. Now you need to understand, there's another man that has some prophetic gifting that said God showed him in a dream that, well, I don't want to say any names, but the initials are JB. Not Pritzker. But that might be another one. That person was beginning to dry up from the bowels. I would say that is a withering. So we got one prophetic man that brings up the whirlwind that he saw in the White House to bring off the chaff. Okay? And we have another man with prophetic gifting that gets this whole idea of drying up from the bowels, a withering. Now, see, this will preach. See, this will preach. Because God's still in control. You guys ain't giving up hope yet, are you?
No.
I know this is getting long, because it's long for me too. Patience is a virtue, and I have never possessed enough of it. So I'm with you. I understand. But through the process, I think we'll all be more patient people than we were before this process began. Don't you agree? Because we are really learning how to walk with God and trust him, I think, in a deeper way. Are you not going deeper in God through this? I know I am. I mean, every day I get up and it's like, okay, what nonsense am I going to see today? And then I got to rein myself in and say, whatever the nonsense is, God's got this. The next scripture we want to look at is Psalm 47, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 47, verses 7 and 8. And these verses say, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne." Now, does that not reconfirm that he is in control of all things? See, we need these reminders. He's the King of all the earth. Not just this nation, every nation of the earth. He is in control of every bit of it. Man, I'll tell you something I've learned about God. He is a very good manager. Because he's managing all of this and has been from the time he created it. All the way back to when he spoke and it was. And he spoke and it was. And he spoke, and it was. Until it came to man. When he created man, he didn't speak. He created man from the dust of the earth, and he fashioned man. And mankind, I'm speaking of, so it's both genders. Yes, we do have two genders. And only two. All right, are we clear on that?
Yeah.
He fashioned us. He didn't just speak us into being, but he put the personal care into fashioning man. Adam, Eve. And it says elsewhere that he knits us together in our mother's womb. We are created. We don't just happen. God saw to it that every single one of us that's here today would be here today. That we would be alive today when all of this stuff is going on in the world. But God has us alive today because that's his will. And guess what? Since he is all-knowing and he is the creator God, because of the fact that we are alive today with all of this stuff going on in the world, we also then know that he created us and has equipped us with the power to be able to overcome. To not be swept away by all of the stuff going on in this world. I mean, I don't know how much you guys pay attention to, but I've been paying attention a lot. You need to understand something. If I didn't believe with my whole heart that God had this, that he has this in control, I would be freaking out. Because you need to understand, all the shipping lanes are closing. There are thousands of ships all over the world that are not unloading. By winter, we could have catastrophic shortages. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. What I'm telling you is you've got to get a hold of God, and you've got to believe God's going to bring us through this. How many of you know I'm speaking the truth? You've been paying attention. There's all kinds of things going on that I have never seen in my lifetime, and to be honest with you, many of them have never been seen in the earth since creation. This is all brand new thing. We are in a spiritual battle, guys, and we need to stand up and assert the authority that we have in Christ. God has given us dominion over the earth as he lives in us. And God forbid we ever forget that. I'm reminding you right now, because we need reminded maybe several times a day, that we are overcomers. He created us to be overcomers. He created us, as I said, to be alive right now, and is equipping us to overcome, to be a voice of truth in our circles of influence. He's equipped us. He's equipping you right now. You're being filled up with the Word of God. He's equipping you right now to go forth when you leave this place and be the voice of reason, the voice of truth. God's word is truth. Darkness is reigning in the earth, but our God is light. Our God is light. And when you walk into a dark room, even if you only have a candle, that candle dispels the darkness in that room. So you, with God living in you and his light shining through you, because see, we're all crackpots. So God's light shines through the cracks. Right? We're all imperfect. So God's light shines through the cracks. And we are equipped with power from on high to be overcomers in this season as well. God is the King of the earth, says, sing praises to him. Sing a psalm of praise. That's why we spend time worshiping. I hope this is not the only worship you get. I hope you're putting Jesus music on in your vehicle when you're driving. I hope you're worshiping God more than what you're getting here at church. We're doing the best we can with what we can do in an hour and a half, roughly. But that's not enough for all week, guys. It's just not. We need more than that. We need filled up regularly. Because otherwise we end up with the doldrums. The head goes down, the shoulders slump. And might as well have a sign on our forehead that says defeated. See, when we pick up our head and we throw our shoulders back and we realize who we are in Christ, then we can trade in that defeated sign for overcomer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12. I got to move on. I got to be really careful. I promised you I'll get done today. Psalm 33, 10 through 12. These verses really speak to me too. How many of you realize that there are evil plans that came right from Satan that are being played out right now? In the world. And in our nation included. There are evil plans. Okay, let's take a look at that. These verses with that in mind. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. See, your faith building, isn't it? You feel your faith building? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. Powerful. Powerful. The Lord foils the plans of the nation. You guys need to write this down, and you need to get it down in your heart, because you need to claim this every day. We need to speak this forth, because when God's word goes forth, it never returns empty. It never returns void. That's what it says in the Word of God. When we speak words, they go forth, and they never return empty. So when we speak the Word of God, like where it says, for example, this, when it says, "For the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people." He's talking about thwarting the purposes, the evil purposes of evil people that are under the direction of Satan himself. We are not defeated. The only time we ever get defeated is when we just give up. God's eyes go to and fro throughout the earth looking for people that will take up His mantle and stand up and be counted. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Remember I talked about that when we opened this message today? His plans are going to happen. Without fail. It's going to be God's way. Next one's Isaiah 14, 26 through 27. Isaiah 14, 26 through 27. These verses say this. This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all nations. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? When our God stretches out his hand, it's much more powerful than when Moses stuck his staff out over the Red Sea and the waters parted. That was pretty cool. Nobody can deny that. That was pretty awesome. And God was moving through him. But I want to tell you something. When God himself stretches out his hand, something's about to happen. Something good is about to happen. And I just believe in my heart, God is about to stretch out his hand and set a whole bunch of things in this world that are wrong right.
Amen.
God wants to start with our hearts. There are too many hearts that are wrong. Too many hearts that are hard. Too many hearts that have turned to stone. And it says in the Word that he desires to turn our hearts back to a heart of flesh, which means it's pliable and it's able to receive from him. Does that make sense to you? It's a good thing when God stretches out his hand, whether it be judgment or whether it be blessing. It's a good thing when God stretches out his hand because he is always just. Who can thwart him? There are a lot of people roaming this earth right now, and many of them are in power. And they think because they have been for a long time getting away with the things that they are doing, that God doesn't care or he doesn't exist. And I beg to differ.
Amen.
God does care. He does see. And he's going to stretch his hand out. And things are going to happen. Proverbs 21, verse 1. You didn't know there was this much stuff in Scripture about this topic, did you? As I always say, God's Word is complete. God has within this book every answer to every question, every problem that we will ever encounter. If you know where to find it, it's there. And if you don't know where to find it and you pray, God will direct you to it, because I have that happen to me all the time. Obviously, I don't have the whole Bible memorized. But he will direct me to Scripture that just fits. It's amazing. To him be the glory. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. A leader that is established by God has God's hand directing it. It says he directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. God directs the heart of leaders. And when they're going the wrong direction and have stiff necks, he'll remove them. It's happened over the centuries and over the millennia many times. He has raised up leaders. What about Saul? He said, oh, I'm sorry for the day that I raised him up. After Saul slid as far as going to the witch of Endor, we got leaders that are doing worse than that today. They're doing worse than going to the witch of Endor. I don't know how up to speed you are with all that. I'll leave it there. Do your homework. The information is out there. Okay, so there's more scriptures, but we'll quit there. You understand that God reserves control of all things. It's going to be his way, right? That should give us hope. For those of us that are believers, that should give us hope. So, Last topic. So what should we do? What do we do about all this? First thing, pray for revival. The most important thing to God is people's hearts turning back to Him. And I believe He has begun to unleash His Spirit. It's not a wave yet, but there are trickles of it. Because God is drawing people. He's ministering to people's hearts. He's speaking to them in dreams. He's speaking to people in visions. He's showing people things in different parts of the earth and in different ways. He's beginning to awaken people that don't know Jesus to the reality of the fact that there is a God and He is in control of all things, and that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to heaven, to eternal life with God. He is the only way. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is not one of the ways. He is the only way. He is the only one that died for us that we could have salvation. Every other so-called God requires people to die for Him. Jesus doesn't require us to die for Him. He requires us to die unto Him. Do you understand the difference?
Yes.
It means we lay down our will. We die unto Him. We lay down our will and say, Lord, I've messed it up enough. I got to that point when I was 25 years old. Lord, I've messed it up enough. Here, I'm yours. Take my life. I surrendered my will to Him. Now, every once in a while, my own will gets in the way. Does anybody else have that trouble? Yeah, we might as well be honest. It's church. But my intention every day is to do the best I can to walk in God's will. And it's been that way for 39 years almost. Just about 39 years. November 16th will be 39 years. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. I almost didn't include this verse in here because this has been used so much and thrown around so much. But the Lord just whispered in my heart, He said, tell them again. So I included this verse. It's powerful. But it's been used so much. It says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That was a mouthful, my friends. There's a lot going on there. But it all starts with that one little two-letter word, that conjunction word, if. It's conditional. When you have a conjunction word, if, in front of a statement, that means that statement is conditional. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
If my people, who are called by my name, who are called by His name? Christians. This is talking to the Christians. See, that's what's sobering. This verse isn't referring to everyone. It's referring to the ones that profess to be His people. If my people, who are called by my name, will what? First of all, humble themselves. If we will humble ourselves, admit, Lord, I'm still messed up. I've let sin linger in my life for way too long. Professing You, and maybe I go to church all the time, but I've allowed sin to linger in my life for way too long. So I'm humbling myself before you. And I'm praying to you, Lord, because you're the only one that can save me. He says, and seek my face. Seek God's face. He wants us to seek His face first and foremost. Too many people spend all their time seeking His hand for what He'll give them. And we do need to pray for our needs. I'm not making fun of that at all. But the problem is, when we spend all our time praying for our needs, and we don't just seek the Lord with all our heart and seek His face just because of who He is and what He has done in providing salvation for every one of us. See, He wants to hear from us. He wants us to seek His face. It says in Matthew, to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That really fits with what we're talking about. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things that we worry about will be added unto us. Guys, we make it hard. God made it easy. I think God made it so easy for us that we somehow can't accept that. We want to earn it somehow. Isn't that true? I know if I do this for God, then He'll love me. No. No. We don't do anything for God that's fruitful. What we do with God is fruitful. If they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Way, way too many wicked ways in the earth, man, in people's lives. And there are a lot of wicked ways in people that haphazardly say, oh yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Well, let's see here. Jesus said, we'd know them by the fruit. There's a lot of rotten fruit. I've told people many times, I'm thankful I'm not God. I'm not anybody's judge. But I'm a fruit inspector. I'm a fruit inspector. Why? Well, I passed through this church. And before we allow anyone up on this stage or in any kind of leadership in this church, we examine some fruit. Does that make sense to you? Because you don't promote people that are operating and producing bad fruit. Does that make sense to you? He says if we do all that whole list, if, He says, then I will hear from heaven. Then I'll hear from heaven. And will forgive their sin. Oh, and by the way, I'll heal your land. We need some healing in our land. But He gave us a recipe, and it starts with us. The starting point is us. Oh, we're good at pointing the finger and looking down our long... Well, I have a long nose, maybe. Looking down my long nose. We're good at looking down our long nose at the people that are out there and those sinners. But we got a plank in our own eye. We got a plank in our own eye. And Jesus said, with that plank in our eye, we can't see clearly to clean anybody else up. So first take the plank out of our own eye, then we can see clearly. We can really inspect that fruit. I want some of that. That's why I've been praying for a long time for an awakening that involves real, true repentance. Because I don't believe God is going to really turn this thing all around and heal the damage that's been done until the first part of that verse is fulfilled. His people got to repent. His people need to get back and seek His face. So we need to be praying for revival and doing all we can to clean up our own lives. Amen? Amen. Not to earn our salvation, but so that God can use us. We're coming into a really radical time, and He wants to use us. And if we haven't got our lives cleaned up, He can't do as much with us. So pray for revival. Secondly, prepare for suffering and survival. This point won't sell CDs. That's okay, we've never sold a CD. We give them all away. But I'm just saying, this point will not sell CDs. It's not popular. Pastor, don't tell me how bad I am. Tell me how good I am. Prepare for suffering and survival. Listen, I don't want to scare the wits out of you, but the things that I saw in that dream last year, before all this started, and if you've been around here since then, you know I preached, I shared what God showed me, and a lot of that stuff has happened. The whole thing with chaos, fire in the streets. Remember I told you I saw all that? Remember I also told you there was things I saw that God didn't allow me to reveal yet? Remember that? Well, I think we are going to go through some very hard times. Now, don't get defeated, because I didn't say we were going to be defeated. But I did say I believe we're going to go through some very hard times very soon. There's going to be lack. There's going to be believers that are probably going to have to go to their cupboard and check again because it was empty. And they're going to go, and God's going to have to put something in there supernatural. I'm serious. I believe that's going to happen. Boy, it's quiet in here now. I believe hard times are coming, but we will, for those who are in Christ, we will survive. And when we come out the other side, we will thrive. Amen. Philippians 1, 27 through 29. Philippians 1, 27 through 29. Beginning to read in verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Do you hear that? This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. We wimpy, weak Christians in this nation have come to believe that nothing bad will ever happen to us. And I'm here to tell you that's not right. Amen. I want you prepared. I want you prepared for that. I want you to have the fortitude to just keep going. Because those who are truly in Christ will come out the other side victorious, I'm telling you. God will bring us through. But the key is being in Christ. Not playing church. Not making excuses for bad behavior. Humbling ourselves. And saying, man, Lord, I blew it again. Here I am again, Lord. On my face. Seeking your face. Because I blew it again. It's time we get honest with God at every level in our lives. Prepare for suffering, but also survival. Lastly, prepare for Jesus' arrival. Prepare for Jesus' arrival. Man, I can't wait till he breaks through the eastern sky on that stallion. I can't wait. But see, we got to finish our course while we're waiting. Matthew 24, verse 42. Says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. No one knows the day or hour of the return of Christ. Did you know that according to the Word of God, He doesn't even know? Only the Father. Jesus is waiting in the wings, waiting for the Father to say, now, go get your bride. Go get him. Only the Father knows. That is the one thing that the Father has withheld from the Son. So now you know, all those people that are out there and they're always naming dates. Well, he's going to come back now, and you see all these nuts out selling everything they have. And this stuff has happened over the years so many times. All kinds of different cults. They've got it all figured out. They've got the day and hour figured out when he's going to return. You just know when they say that, that's a cult. Because nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody. And they're not going to. He's just going to return someday when we think not. And he's telling us, be prepared. He said, keep watch. Are you keeping watch? See, I'm paying attention because I believe I need to as a pastor. I'm paying attention as much as I possibly can to what's happening in this world. Because as a pastor, I'm a shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd. And so I pay attention to what's going on in the world. And I listen to God and I try to bring you messages that prepare you for what's to come. I do the best I can at that. And do I blow it? I'm sure. But every once in a while I get it right. Every once in a while. I wish I got it right every time, but one thing I know I got right, this thing's going to flip. This thing's going to flip. In God's time, not in man's time. We still got people out there. They're trying to name dates for when it's going to flip. Don't listen to them. Nobody knows when it's going to flip. God's going to do it when he's ready. And again, I don't believe he's going to do it until his bride repents. We got into this mess because the church shut their mouth. The church lost its voice. Am I telling the truth? And he's giving the church an opportunity to get their voice back. That's why I'm standing in this pulpit preaching the kind of message I am. I refuse to fear man. I'm not going to fear man. I fear God. I do. I have a healthy fear of God. He's the one that can condemn my soul to hell. Nobody else can. All people could kill this old tent, but nobody else can condemn my soul to hell. And nobody else can save my soul either. So, did you get it?
Yes.
You ready to go out there and talk to anybody that'll listen?
Yes.
All right, let's stand together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. We love you.